Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Heavens and the earth in justice and created man as a favor and grace from him. And from his ways is that the days rotate between the people, and from his law is retaliation in kind. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and the killer is killed.
Germany calling, Germany calling. Here are the Reichs under ambush, station Bremen and station DXB on the 31-meter band. You are about to hear our news in English.
Your number one enemy, your favorite playmate, Orphan Anne of Radio Tokyo, the little sunbeam whose throat you'd like to cut. This program tonight is especially dedicated to the boys of the 509th group, which just landed on Tinian. Oh, sorry, that's supposed to be a secret. By the way, fellas, what kept you so long?
Good evening. This is the Savage Nation, and it is very serious indeed. We just played you a little bit of the Tokyo Rose from World War II, who was a propagandist for the Japanese. She was an American of Japanese ancestry who went over to the other side, very much like the Democrat Party today. Prior to her, you heard the voice of William Joyce, the man associated with the nickname Lord Haw-Haw, a fascist politician and Nazi propaganda broadcaster to the United Kingdom during World War II. We are not too far from those days today. What I'm about to read to you could be a Democrat National Committee fundraising letter. What I'm about to read to you is Osama bin Laden's transcript, a transcript of his speech, unedited. Now, I've seen edited versions all over the web by the media. However, if you actually listen to what I'm about to read you, and it's going to take quite a while for me to get through it, you have to ask yourself, how does what Osama bin Laden say in so many parts differ from what we're hearing from Clinton, Reid, Pelosi, Obama, Edwards? They've all said some similar things about the war in the United States over the last few months. And then you have to ask yourself, is Osama bin Laden running for office as a third-party candidate? After all, what is his platform? End global warming, end the mortgage crisis, a flat tax of 2.5%, and grovel before Islam for peace and togetherness. It sounds very much like a Kucinich-Edwards ticket. All praise is due to Allah, blah, blah, blah. We heard that. I'm going to skip some of it because it's irrelevant. People guidance, blah, blah, blah. Economic power, blah, blah, blah. Grace of God, blah, blah, blah. Since the 11th, many of America's policies have come under the influence of the Mujahideen. I don't know what he's talking about. I have no idea what he means by that. As for your information media, says the enemy Obama, during the first years, during the first years of the war, blah, blah, blah. Then Bush talks about his working with al-Maliki and his government to spread freedom in Iraq, but he in fact is working with the leaders of one sect against another sect in the belief that this will quickly decide the war in his favor. And thus what is called the Civil War came into being, and matters worsened at his hands before getting out of his control and him becoming like the one who plows and sows the sea. He harvests nothing but failure. It's classic Arab rhetoric. It's very flowery, but it has no meaning. I'm going on now with Osama bin Laden's missive to the West. And before I continue, many of the those on the internet are saying, does he exist at all? They're talking about the beard. They're talking about the black beard. And many in Islam are saying that it is forbidden to trim the beard, number one, which is true, and that a man as fundamentalist as Osama would never have trimmed his own beard, which is also true. It makes no sense. Now, I have heard rumors that the black beard symbolizes virility and that it's typical for leaders in the Arab world to dye their beards black and all of that stuff. But as far as trimming his beard, it does sound very odd that he would have trimmed his beard. It could be a photoshopped beard, which leads to some of the conspiracists on the internet who are asking, does Bin Laden exist at all? And then they say, go back and read 1984, which now reads like a documentary. And they say in Orwell's 1984, the main villain is a shadowy figure named Goldstein, who is never seen, never captured, and is always available as a convenient distraction for the regime. Of course, I don't believe any of that, but the Photoshop part of it, the black beard that doesn't, that looks very, very decently trimmed, and also that he's wearing almost the same exact tunic. Now, I got to tell you, he must have the best martinizing in those caves available because it's better than my cleaner. How do they get the dirt out of that tunic down there in the cave? How is the cap he's wearing so white if he's really in hiding? So people are asking kind of silly questions about a very serious issue. But I'm going to throw a blockbuster your way that is pure and unadulterated rumor. I thought about whether or not to mention it at all. But it came to me from, I think, a reliable source. And I hope he's wrong. And I hope I'm wrong for having, I hope I'm right for having told you what I'm about to tell you. And I hope he's wrong in his passing this on to me. And it's pure rumor, and I want to repeat it. It is rumor. What I'm about to tell you is only rumor. I have a friend who is a physicist who was connected to the intelligence community in a certain manner. How deep the connection goes, I don't really know. However, he received an email about 40 minutes ago from someone high in the intelligence community who said to him, the feds are crawling all over San Francisco right now. Meters have gone off in the city. Meters have gone off in the city. The feds are crawling all over the city. I cannot verify this, but why should we not believe this? And then when we tie it into Osama bin Laden giving a releasing a video for the first time in 3 years, where some say he is signaling an attack, I would say that all bets are off right now. And if you read the man's, the transcript of the speech, which I'm going to do for you in part, it seems to me one long justification for an attack. It's very much of the type of speech that Hitler would have given before invading Poland, justifying invading it for breathing space for the German people. Remember that. You know that Hitler never invaded a country without a long speech justifying the invasion. Murderers generally justify their murder. I don't know if you understand how a homicidal maniac operates. If you ask any homicide detective, we're not talking about the random attack. We're talking about the really bad ones, the really dangerous ones, usually justify what they're about to do, before they commit murder. And so if you listen to what Osama bin Laden says by reading his words, he's making one long rambling justification for attack. And I'm going to read some of it to you. And he goes on, and of course he attacks Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and Richard Pearl. And then he says, I say refuting this unjust statement that the morality and culture of the Holocaust is your culture, not our culture. And then he goes on to something very interesting, again appealing to liberal Jews. I'm telling you right now, this man, whoever wrote this for him, and it could be him if he's alive, it could be somebody in the United States of America who knows the culture, but somebody is talking to the liberals in America. He's talking about global warming. He's talking about ending the mortgage crisis. He's talking about a flat 2.5% tax. He's telling us if we convert to Islam, there'll be peace and togetherness. And then he, of course, appeals to the liberal Jewish community by saying the following. And I'm going to quote exactly. He says, Richard Pearl, Cheney, and Rumsfeld said that the Americans have no choice in front of them other than to continue the war or face the Holocaust. Then Osama bin Laden, our enemy, says, I say, refuting this unjust statement, that the morality and culture of the Holocaust is your culture, not our culture. In fact, burning living beings is forbidden in our religion, even if they be small like the ants or what of man. The Holocaust of the Jews, by the way, this is the first time that I think he has acknowledged the Holocaust of the Jews, unlike his cousin, the shrimp in Iran. So let us thank God for small favors. He says the Holocaust of the Jews was carried out by your brethren in the middle of Europe, but had it been closer to our countries, most of the Jews would have been saved by taking refuge with us. And my proof for that is in what your brothers, the Spanish, did when they set up the horrible courts of the Inquisition to try Muslims and Jews, when the Jews only found safe shelter by taking refuge in our countries. And that is why the Jewish community in Morocco today is one of the largest communities in the world. They are alive with us, and we have not incinerated them, but we are a people who don't sleep under oppression and reject humiliation and disgrace. And we take revenge on the people of tyranny and aggression, and the blood of the Muslims will not be spilled with impunity. He then goes on and says, also, your Christian brothers have been living amongst us for 14 centuries. In Egypt alone, there are millions of Christians whom we have not incinerated and shall not incinerate. And I'll pause right here. No, they haven't incinerated them, comma, yet, because they don't have the technological means to incinerate them. But they certainly do kill them. Let me add that as a footnote. There are constant attacks upon Christians and Muslim nations, and it's ratcheted up quite severely in the recent present. He then goes on to say, but the fact is there is a continuing and biased campaign being waged against us for a long time now by your politicians and many of your writers by way of your media, especially Hollywood, again attacking sacred cow, attacking the obvious, for the purpose of misrepresenting Islam and its adherents to drive you away from the true religion. The genocide of peoples and their holocaust took place at your hands. Only a few specimens of Red Indians were spared. And just a few days ago, the Japanese observed the 62nd anniversary of the annihilation of Hiroshima and Nagasaki by nuclear weapons. He is preaching to the Democrat National Committee. He is preaching to the Green Party, the progressives. He is preaching to the liberal whack jobs who have taken his side. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I'm going to continue to read this when we come back, where he addresses the people of America, because it is one long justification for an attack upon this country. And I pray to God that the rumor that I read to you, I am praying that the rumor I read to you is simply crackpot internet gossip. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win, for the times they are a-changing.
And the wheel goes around. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. It's just one long, gigantic continuum from 1965 until now, I'll tell you. And this turn of the wheel is astounding to me, how the so-called progressive liberals have become absolute appeasing. I don't have any words for it other than they're the enemy within. I have no other word for it. The words I am reading to you that have come to us today from Osama bin Laden are almost identical in many places to the speeches of the Democrats, to the party itself. The Democratic Party continuously puts out this propaganda. And now we're reading Osama bin Laden feeding the very same hogwash to the world. Convert to Islam. 2.5% flat tax. We don't believe in usury in Islam. End global warming. Now, what in the heck does this have to do with global warming? He's just simply trying to appease the potheads on the left who will do anything. And I say anything except defend their own honor and their own nation. What does the mortgage crisis have to do with Osama bin Laden and Iraq? Of course, nothing. Why does he mention it? Because millions of poor are being affected by the mortgage crisis. He figures he'll sweep them up in the global hogwash. And then he goes on to say, people of America, the world is following your news in regards to your invasion of Iraq. For people have recently come to know that after several years of the tragedies of this war, the vast majority of you want it stopped. The vast majority of you want it stopped. Now, let me pause right there. He's saying a half-truth. As you well know, propaganda is very interesting if you can dissemble it, which I can do because I specialize in dissembling the lies of the left. He says the vast majority of you want it stopped. That's not exactly true. As I have pointed out to you, the vast majority of us want it won, not stopped. The vast majority of us despise the Republican Party precisely because they refuse to win the war when we know we have the weapons to win the war, and we suspect that they're continuing the war for reasons other than military reasons, okay? So it's not that the vast majority of Americans want the war in Iraq stopped. They want it over. That's different than they want it stopped. They want it over after victory. That's a little different than they want it stopped. They'd be very glad to see the Sunni Triangle reduced to rubble and Sadr City reduced to rubble and all of the criminals of Iraq rounded up in a detainment camp, in internment camps, as the Nazis were rounded up and peace and the country divided. And then we can leave a retaining force to protect the oil fields and maintain the peace and get the heck out of there. Okay, but that's different than they want it stopped. No, most of us don't want it stopped. We want it won, and then we want it stopped after we have defeated the enemy. So let me be clear about that. Then he goes on to say, and I'm quoting, "Thus you elected the Democratic Party for this purpose. But the Democrats haven't made a move worth mentioning. On the contrary, they continue to agree to the spending of tens of billions to continue the killing and war there, which has led to the vast majority of you being afflicted with disappointment. I tell you, this guy could be running for the presidency as a third-party candidate under the green ticket, or shall I say under the sand ticket. His platform and global warming, move out of Iraq, end the mortgage crisis, a flat 2.5% tax, and grovel with Muslims for peace and togetherness." He then says, here is the gist of the matter. So one should pause. Why have the Democrats failed to stop this war despite them being the majority? He says, why are the leaders of the White House keen to start wars and wage them around the world and blah, 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 more propaganda? Then he goes to the Vietnam War, which I think you must hear. In the Vietnam War, the leaders of the White House claimed at the time that it was a necessary and crucial war, and during it, Rumsfeld and his aides murdered 2 million villagers, and when Kennedy took over the presidency and deviated from the general line of policy drawn up for the White House and wanted to stop the unjust war, that angered the owners of the major corporations who were benefiting from its continuation, and so Kennedy was killed, and Al-Qaeda wasn't present at that time, but rather those corporations were the prime. This almost makes no sense. It's almost schizophrenic. I do not know what Al-Qaeda has to do with the Vietnam War and Kennedy. I suspect I can glean from this that it's something about anti-corporate stuff, something that Michael Moore, Dennis Kucinich, Obama, you know, Hillary in some of her move-on speeches, certainly Edwards in some of his speeches, would be very proud to quote. And so there's very little differentially between what Osama bin Laden has released and what we've been hearing on the campaign trail from the Democrats for the last 6 months. That's the shocking part. So no, these are very strange times. Osama bin Laden doesn't give a speech for 3 years. He comes back with a trim black beard, which some say is Photoshop. The internet is abuzz with it's a CIA plot in order to conveniently sucker us back into fearing the enemy. Then I read the speech itself, which I've been reading to you for half an hour now, and many of the points could be talking points for Osama bin Laden. Osama bin Laden's speech could be the talking points for the DNC, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, certainly Dennis Kucinich, Edwards, and Clinton in many parts. Right now we have an Osama bin Laden expert, Gerald Posner. Secrets of the Kingdom is his book. Mr. Posner, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Gerald, what do you make of this release of the speech by him himself, the enemy number one, public enemy number one, and two, the Blackbeard?
Well, you know, the release of it is just to say in so many ways, hey, guys, you have $100 million riding on my head, and you can't catch me. You've got the best spy satellites up there. You're paying Musharraf millions of dollars, and, 6 years later, I'm still running around. So this is just a way of sort of jabbing at us as 9/11 comes
up. But where is he? How could he be? How is that possible, by the way, that with a $25 million bounty, he can't be found?
Remarkable. I mean, it's one of the most frustrating stories. You know that recently Newsweek did a 10-page story in a reporting on the bin Laden hunt, such as it is. And one of the things they showed, which is absolutely infuriating and should be to anybody who pays taxpayer money in this country, is that there is a bureaucracy set up when looking for the world's most wanted man so that if we get what's called a high target value from Al-Qaeda and it's identified based upon human intelligence, it then has to be reported back to a central desk in Afghanistan and then passes it on to the Pentagon in Washington. And if it's a big deal, then we actually have to get the defense secretary or the defense secretary's top aide to sign off on it. That's 2 hours later. They finally
2 hours later, but also the leaks that go along that trail.
So, you know what? You can't hunt for a guy like this with a bureaucracy. It just doesn't work. And so, and the people that are protecting him up in the mountains between, you know, the right along Pakistan and Afghanistan, What do they need the $25 or $50 million for? The minute you get that type of payoff in a town like Lahore, Pakistan, you're dead 5 minutes later for having turned into big tribal chief. But, you know, you did ask an interesting question. People look at this Just for Men beard that he has, that in the last 3 years, what's he been doing since he was last on video? He got some hair dye. But it's not such a – we say it tongue-in-cheek, but it's actually serious, believe it or not, in the Arab world. If your listeners recall that when George Bush met with the Saudi kings, 81 and 82-year-old, the head of the kingdom and his chief minister, they have jet black goatees and mustaches. It's viewed in the Arab world as a sign of virility and strength to keep that black hair late into your 70s and 80s. And the shock to us when we saw Bin Laden 3 years ago was that he looked bad. We all thought he was on kidney dialysis, that he had the gray beard. Now that he's come back with the black beard, that sort of says to his fanatical...
So did he get a Hollywood stylist to guide him on how to appeal? But what about the trim beard, Mr. Posner? You know, some are arguing that he's a traditionalist, very orthodox Muslim. They don't trim their beards. Why is it trimmed?
Yeah, that is unusual. As a matter of fact, it's one of the things I first saw when I saw it, I said, whoa, at the black beard, right? Because that seemed like so terrible. And then I was also surprised that it was, in fact, trimmed. The only time that the fanatical Muslims, and that's a broad swatch because we know we're dealing with a lot of fanatics out there, and most of the time when they trim their hair, not just like he did, but they actually shave it off, is when they're going on a suicide mission. They shave body hair off. They shave facial hair off. And that's their last sign they're going up.
Yes, the Virginia Tech murderer, by the way, with his connections to Islam, which were brushed aside by the media, had shaved his hair and put on, we know that. This was, again, hushed up, but I don't want to go backwards. But he didn't shave his body here. He just dyed his hair black for the virility reasons. But the question I'm raising is, doesn't it look like a Photoshop beard? Couldn't you go along with that conspiracy theory?
Oh, yeah. No, it is. It is possible. You could go along with that theory and say, hey, it's just Photoshopped. And if you met him in person, he still looks like crap. But I have to tell you that the interesting thing is if they Photoshopped it, they wouldn't Photoshop it without Osama's blessing. The reason being, this is handed out to these radical Islamic sites that are just essentially conduits for hate information and disseminating possible, you know, in between.
But his face doesn't even look the same as it did in 04. He looks younger and stronger.
I
think they've taken an earlier, if it's at all him and not Photoshopped, it's an earlier picture of him. The tunic is identical, by the way.
And they will find, look, the one thing, you know, the great thing about the CIA is that they may not be able to stop 9/11 before it happens, and they may bungle whether the Shah of Iran's about to fall 2 days before he does, and they may not get it right about a lot of different things that we pay them billions of dollars for, but they are very good at what I call the old CSI hunt of matching up photographs. And if, in fact, it's a composite of some old ones, they'll determine that. But the voice, from what I'm hearing talking to people in Washington, is the voice is his, and so it means he's still alive.
All right, look, Gerald Posner, let me go back to some of your background. Your book is Secrets of the Kingdom, so you've written about Osama bin Laden and about Saudi Arabia. You're a journalist, but you were first a lawyer. And a top flight lawyer. You're University of California, Berkeley, 75. It's funny, I was a PhD from 78. Then Hastings Law in 78. You worked for a big Wall Street law firm, Kravitz, Swain & Moore. You then went into private practice. Then you're a Phi Beta Kappa, summa cum laude graduate of UC Berkeley, which is amazing. And now you're strictly into what? Journalism? Investigative journalism, Gerald?
I mean, investigative journalism. The book before the Saudis was Why America Slept, about how the CIA and FBI got it wrong. I've done books on the Kennedy and King assassinations on Nazi.
All right. So, no, the reason I'm laying the groundwork is I want people to understand your background and how deep it really is and how structured it really is. So now let's come up to the current date. This release, 3 years after the last one, is it significant? I mean, Osama bin Laden talking himself. Is it significant that he himself is on the tape? Basically, to me, Gerald, let me lay it on the line. I read this thing, the Holocaust, global warming, and the mortgage crisis, a flat 2.5% tax, grovel for peace and togetherness with Muslims. Doesn't it look like one gigantic justification for an attack?
Oh, no question. But anything is, look, at the fact that we breathe, are alive, believe in freedom, like the idea of spreading our culture, whether you agree with it or hate it or whatever else, is reason for another attack. I mean, he doesn't need the mortgage crisis or us being in Iraq or everything else. You know, people say, oh, we're in Iraq. That really makes them hate us. Well, you know, how much more could they hate us than 9/11? I mean, if they had...
Well, they hated us before Iraq. I don't know how many different ways I have to remind people. We were attacked under Bill Clinton in 1993 at the World Trade Center. Don't people remember that? Or they think they attacked us after... You know that some liberals think that we were attacked, that 9/11 occurred after we invaded Iraq? Do you know that, Gerald?
I am not surprised to know that, but people don't even remember that under Ronald Reagan, look, we had over 250 of our own best Marines die in a suicide bombing attack in Lebanon by Islamic fundamentalists then, and we didn't even realize it was a threat when they were blowing up, you know, 250. So he doesn't need the reason, but what you said is very interesting, which is this is one of the most rambling Bin Laden tapes I've seen. He's all over the field. I mean, this is a guy who could use a good editor and a good speechwriter because, I mean, I don't know what the point of a lot of this is. Except
no, but he jumps things together. Look at this thing on the Vietnam War. I've got to read this to you because you're an expert. He goes back to the Vietnam War, and then he talks about Iraq, and he jumps all over the map. There's no connection here. What in the world when he says, and so Kennedy was killed, and Al-Qaeda wasn't present at that time, but rather those corporations were the primary beneficiary from his killing. This makes no sense as a sentence. It seems to me that he's throwing conspiracy theories together for the anti-corporate left-wing loonies who also believe Kennedy was... You know what I'm saying here?
No, I agree. Look, this sounds like a statement at times that you would hear from an anti-globalization person. So, and, you know, the types of anarchists that show up whenever the G8 meets or that?
Yes.
It's time throwing rocks at the G8 group or that.
Right, or Kucinich, let's say, or Kucinich in the privacy of his own living room.
Well, you know, that I do love the fact that Bin Laden even has global warming in here.
What is he... I can't find the piece on global warming. What is that? Where is that in here?
I have it in front of me right now. I heard a report on it earlier on the...
Well, I'm going to read the whole speech today because it's... Here it is. I got it. Here, I'm going to read this now. And with that, it's become clear to all that they are the real tyrannical terrorists, meaning us. In fact, the life of all of mankind is in danger because of the global warming resulting to a large degree from the emissions of the factories of the major corporations. It sounds, for God's sakes, like Al Gore in Colorado.
It's unbelievable. You know that I don't think that he has seen Bin Laden, the Gore film, because his DVD machine must have been broken in one of our airstrikes. But still, it is amazing to me that, you know, he's putting on his I'm a World commentary hat. And I'm not sure it's playing over here like a big, you know, dead rock. But I'm not quite sure that the Muslim radicals on the streets in Cairo and those sitting in London wanting to blow up another bus, and those sitting in, you know, Dearborn or somewhere who really want to come after us are saying, all right, global warming, let's go get the American infidel. So I'm not even sure it's playing good on to the...
Well, if you want to talk about global warming and pollution, I mean, and pollution is being generated by coal and oil. Most of the oil comes out of the Middle East. You can blame Saudi Arabia for it. They're the origin of the global warming crisis.
Well, the amazing thing about a guy
like... You know, this is so ludicrous. He's appealing to the Greens. He's appealing to the anarchists. He's appealing to the Democrat left. He's appealing to the entire anti-war movement. I don't think he wrote this if he is alive. It looks to me like that guy... Who's that guy? Gadane? The American from Southern California?
The American Taliban. Or
The guy from Southern California who always gives those hokey speeches against America. He's sort of the Tokyo Rose of our time. And it looks to me like a lot of this would be written by a high school student over a long period of time on various and sundry drugs. This is the kind of speech, for example, that, you know, the rambling where nothing connects and it's all thrown in there that you'd read in, as an editorial in the New York Times, a one-pager rented by Sean Penn when he rents the pages to write his speeches written on airplanes, buses, trains, toilets, living rooms, and in cars. And it all comes out in one gobbled thing where you see global warming and all stuff linked together. I mean, it seems to me that somebody with a disorderly mind wrote this.
No, I agree with that. But here's the only thing I say that's different on this. There are instances in which people who even run countries are capable of this type of rambling discourse for hours. And a perfect example is Castro. Castro's known, or was known, before he's on death's door, for giving 3 and 4 hour speeches that jumped all over the place. And if you didn't have a double grand Starbucks with caffeine beforehand, you are a goner because you were going to go to sleep in the middle of that.
Okay, so there's no logic to much of their speeches. They just link up various statements to keep the crowd awake.
And so Bin Laden just might be one of those types. It didn't even have to be written by, the American kid who is the, as you said, the Tokyo Rose of our time. But it is possible that he is as out of touch with the real world that he actually thinks this statement is.
But you notice the anti-corporate theme that runs through here. The corporations are doing it, major corporations sacrificing soldiers. This guy is a multi-billionaire whose father owns one of the major corporations of the Middle East. You know that as well, Gerald. You're an expert on the Middle East.
They're the biggest construction company in all of the Kingdom of Saudi.
No, but the standard, the fashionable anti-corporate rhetoric that you hear bubbling around in America from the potheads. It's strange it's coming from Osama bin Laden when he's the beneficiary of one of the largest corporations in the world, his father's construction company.
Ways the conspiracy theories around 9/11, which are basically pretty much left-wing theories because they all say that the government did it, it was Bush for oil, it was the CIA. This sort of, you know, rings true to them, not in the sense that they're suddenly going to stand up and start saying, oh, bin Laden's our guy.
But wait a minute. First of all, let's put to rest, Gerald, I don't mean to cut you off. I can't resist this. Let's put to rest that it was done by us. Here, Osama bin Laden, their hero. Remember now, they secretly see him as a Robin Hood. You got to, Gerald, do you understand that the American left actually looks up to this man? They see him as sort of a noble Robin Hood. They actually are rooting for him. He says in his speech today, our enemy, he says that despite the monopoly of the unjust in America, despite all of this, 19 young men were able, by the grace of Allah, the Most High, to change the direction of its compass. So he's admitting that it was his people who did it. Shouldn't that put to rest the conspiracy theories?
No, I wish it would put to rest the conspiracy theories, which are absolutely crazy and drive me mad. But the reason it won't is because if you talk to one of these conspiracy nuts, and you've dealt with them before, they always have an answer. So if you sat down with them and said, look, bin Laden just admitted it was his 19 guys who pulled it off, they would say, no, he's just trying to take credit for it. So it makes him
more
street cred. But
They're the same ones who say that, no, communism really hasn't failed. It's America who's interfered with communism that made it fail, that if only there was pure communism, we would see justice for all. I'll be right back to continue our dialogue with Gerald Posner, author of Secrets of the Kingdom. We're talking about a very important topic, a new Osama bin Laden tape, Iraq, the transcript, and what it means to you. And, of course, the conspiracy theories are racing around the Internet. The question is, does any of this mean Jack to you? I'll be right back.
Savage.
So I'm reading this rambling missive from Osama bin Laden, the first he's released in 3 years. I think it's significant. That's why I'm reading it. Much of what is in here is our Democrat Party campaign talking points: global warming, mortgage crisis, flat tax of 2.5%. Of course, the Democrats aren't saying that. In some ways, his platform is even better than theirs. Grovel for peace and togetherness by converting to Islam. There wouldn't have been a Holocaust if it was in Muslim countries and things like that. And we're wondering if this is not a signal to set off a jihad, you know, another wave of jihadism across the globe. Some are arguing that we're about to be hit again on 9/11. I told you I heard an unconfirmed rumor from someone connected somewhat to intelligence sources that meters are going off all over the city of San Francisco. It's a rumor. I want to repeat that, and that the city is crawling with feds today. Gerald Posner, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Gerald, do you think – I know this is a wild, crazy question. Do you think there's an attack imminent?
Yeah, but I've thought that for the last few years, so I've been wrong on that. I'm amazed that we haven't been hit and hit big.
All right, so wait, but who do we thank? We thank the federal government for that. I mean, let's give credit where credit is due. They're doing something right, aren't they?
Yeah, but I mean, they have to get it right every time, and I must. Yeah, that's true. But at the same time, look at the Brits. The Brits have been great. They've been arresting and holding literally hundreds of people. They still got hit on 7/7. So you can't stop.
Well, eventually we're going to have internment camps. I know it's not very nice to say that. That's coming. We get hit, there's internment camps. The people will not tolerate this anymore. They're not going to have one more minaret put up in one more American town or city. It's going to end. The people can't take it, Gerald. They need a federal government to protect them from this. We know there's a worldwide jihad. Yes or no?
Absolutely, but I think people forget about it, though, Michael. That's the interesting thing.
How long has this jihad been going on, Mr. Posner? You're the expert, not I. You're the expert, not I. Has there not been a jihad since the 7th century?
No, that's right. For hundreds and hundreds of years. This has always been the idea of a great caliphate, a sort of a Muslim rule that would stretch across the globe. People say the Crusades were terrible because they sent, you know, Christians and Catholics down there to kill Muslims. The Crusades were the answer to what were Muslim massacres inside of Spain. So, you know, this has been for a long time happening. Now, the question is whether technology changes it and they're able to get a weapon of mass destruction. New York or London disappears from the map one day, then I think the world is in alterably a different place. And what you're saying now becomes commonplace for everybody to say.
Well, if God forbid the conspiracy theorists that we've been having on the show over the years with the 7 missing nuclear suitcases, which we've argued over, and the experts have said they couldn't be detonated because the batteries and triggers are not there anymore. But let us say, for argument's sake, God forbid that did happen. We know that civilization grinds to a halt, and we're down to mortadella and salami. It's mortadella and cheese, you know what I'm saying, and hunting deer in the hills for quite a long time. That's what they'd like to do, Gerald, wouldn't it? Cripple our technology, cripple our society, and bring us down to a pre-agricultural age?
Cripple the economy. And what's interesting is, you know, when people...
Hold on. Gerald Posner, can you stay with us over the top of the hour?
I can. I just have to be running out by 4:10 if I can.
Okay, perfect. You'll be at the opening.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Your number one enemy, your favorite playmate, Orphan Anne of Radio Tokyo, the little sunbeam whose throat you'd like to cut. This program tonight is especially dedicated to the boys of the 509th group, which just landed on Tinian. Oh, sorry, that's supposed to be a secret. By the way, fellas, what kept you so long?
That's the voice of Tokyo Rose, an American of Japanese ancestry who was a propagandist for the Japanese military during World War II. Right now we have, if not outright propagandists for the enemy, that is Islamofascism, we have outright apologists for them, mainly the Democrats in virtually every speech. And Osama bin Laden has released a new tape. We have the transcript, and I'm reading from it. And many of the talking points could be the DNC's fundraising letter. We have no idea what OBL is doing, talking about ending global warming, ending the mortgage crisis, a flat 2.5% tax, and if you convert to Islam, there will be peace. But it does appeal to a good swath of the Democrat, so-called progressive left in America. With us right now is Gerald Posner, author of Secrets of the Kingdom. He only has a few minutes left. Gerald, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Any comments, Gerald? You said that when I asked you, do you fear an imminent attack? because of the black beard, because of the speech, the first time he's done one in 3 years. You said yes, but you have been wrong before. Is this different? Is this different now?
No, I'll tell you why I don't think it's different, and here's why. And this is why the people say there are 6 suitcase bombs missing, and you know they've got a nuclear bomb ready or they've got gas ready. I believe that's all wrong. The reason is this. When one of these cells who's looking for a weapon of mass destruction is going to be the new 9/11 type of cell, the moment they are ready to go operational, they will. They cannot afford to wait a day later because of the fact they know that they could be broken up. American intelligence, the FBI, the CIA could stumble into them. There could be an informant inside. So they can't have the luxury of getting a suitcase bomb and then holding it until his speech comes out. If they were ready to go yesterday, they would have done it. And if they're ready to go tomorrow, they will. And it's as much a coincidence as anything. But these, look, at this group isn't going to wait. On if they're ready to strike, they will.
So you don't think that they're that well organized and protected and hidden that they can say, let's all wait, boys, until September 11th and really set them all off at once? You think that's purely fictional?
Well, I mean, they could try to do that. There's no doubt they would like to, but it's a great risk. Let's assume they're ready today on the 7th. They've got to wait another 4 days. Something could go wrong. That's a great risk to take if you're actually ready.
Well, but the ACLU just helped them the other day. The ACLU, with one of their red diaper dopa baby lawyers in New York appointed by Clinton, gutted a good portion of the Patriot Act. And now the intelligence community, the FBI in particular, has to go to a lawyer who can then say yes or no, we're going to seize the phone records, and let's notify them we've just seized their phone or internet records so they can flee the country. I mean, you saw that the other day, Gerald, didn't you?
I actually think I'm a backer of the Patriot Act. I think it's an important tool that we're using in fighting terrorism here. But I also have to tell you, Michael, and you know this, that we could have stopped 9/11 without the Patriot Act. So good police work is always helpful. But if they have more tools, and the Patriot Act is a key one, it always helps.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gerald, you're always a wonderful guest, and I thank you for joining us today. I wish you well with your research and your book, Secrets of the Kingdom. The time is 10 minutes after 4. Mr. Posner is on his way. I now open up to the callers here on the Savage Nation. I'm going to go back to selections from The Enemy, and you'll see that they sound like talking points for a speech by any one of the Democrat candidates. If you want to get into a conspiracy theory, you could argue that the Democrats released the OBL tape with a Photoshop beard in order to cover up the fact that their fugitive fundraiser, Mr. Hsu, you could say the beard was used to cover up the Hsu, because Hsu was captured in Colorado last night by the FBI. The guy was found on the Zephyr. Many of you don't know who Hsu is because the major media is covering up this fugitive, Mr. Hsu, the captured fundraiser, who he is, why did he give money to Hillary Clinton and the others? He has been caught. And by the way, his lawyer, Brosnahan, who I talked about at length yesterday with a great deal of concern, because Brosnahan has represented Rat Boy. Brosnahan is a prominent San Francisco attorney who likes left-wing causes. A local TV station caught up with Brosnahan outside court, and they forced him to answer why he didn't turn over the passport of this fugitive Democrat fundraiser. Listen to clip 3.
What I said in the court, that we were true to our representation to the Attorney General's office and to the court that we would retrieve the passport. And we undertook very reasonable steps to do that, but we were unsuccessful. What I would say is that...
Hold it, let's right there. This man could be indicted, in my opinion, for having lied to, either knowingly or accidentally lied to, the federal government. You talk about Scooter Libby. Scooter Libby actually committed no crime, but he lied to a federal agent. I would argue that the Brosnahan law firm did far worse in lying to the federal government by saying that they would retrieve the passport of the fugitive fundraiser Hsu, and they didn't do so. Now he's explaining why he didn't do it, that he sent a responsible person who spent 90 minutes looking for the passport. I don't buy it for 1 minute. It looks like one gigantic conspiracy to me. And I would insist the federal government investigate this legal firm, because something doesn't add up here. You hear what I'm saying? And it's a very important story that's being covered up by the beard. The beard is covering up the Hsu. The beard is covering up the Hsu. So let's go back to the beard. And I'm going to read the beard's speech. But before I do, I'll take a caller. Eli in Sacramento, go ahead. Tell us what you're thinking.
Yeah, Michael, what I believe is the last thing that has to happen is to bring about this one world government is the demise of America. And the enemy within is in cahoots with the fundamental Islamics. And I can prove it by a couple quotes from the Bible. One is Jesus said he did not come to bring peace on earth, but a double-edged sword. And whoever kills with the sword shall be killed by the sword. And he also told certain people that their father was the father of all lies. Basically, they were children of the devil. So the false prophet is Muhammad, and the children of the devil are the radical left in cahoots now to bring America to its knees, to culminate in the appearance of their one world government. And it's time for the American people to wake up.
Eli, I'm not going to say one word. I'm going to let this be an open forum. Let people laugh at you if they will. But you actually represent an awful lot of people in this country who see the same thing. You do know that a country in Europe by the name of Switzerland, good old Swiss, nice old Swiss, are passing laws prohibiting the construction of any more minarets in Switzerland. They're being taken over by the Muslims, all because of liberalism. They recognize that liberalism is destroying their culture and their nation. I am the first person in the world to have defined a nation as defined by borders, language, and culture. I'm the first one who, when asked to define the charter of a group I created many years ago, to say what is a nation defined by. And I said a nation is defined by the following. It is defined by borders, language, and culture. The Swiss understand that very well. Do you? Does George Bush understand that with the Mexican trucks rolling? Do the sanctuary city mayors, who are all enemies and should be rounded up by the FBI, understand that? I pray to God that the day will come that the mayors of sanctuary cities are taken out by federal marshals in handcuffs and arrested for consorting with the enemy, for aiding and abetting terrorism. And why do I say terrorism? Because if you're going to grant ID cards to illegal aliens, as a twisted, sick pervert in San Francisco wants to do, ID card for illegals is a direct violation of federal law, and it's time for the federal government to arrest these mutants who are defying them. You know, there are mutants in the political system. Almost all of them exist in liberal cities. In San Francisco, the entire city government, with the exception of perhaps one or two people, are run by mutants. And now a supervisor in this city wants to draft legislation, or is drafting legislation, that will permit illegal aliens to have an ID card, which can be a road towards Social Security and whatnot. He is aiding and abetting the violation of federal law. I do not understand why the federal government does not arrest Supervisor Tom Ammiano. I do not understand why they do not arrest the mayor of this city and the mayor of any other city who defies federal law by saying, you know what, we're bigger than you. We're bigger than the federal government. We're going to pass any law we wish, even if it defies federal law. I think they should cut off federal funds to the city to start with. And then I think they should arrest people who aid and abet illegal aliens, because mixed in with the illegal aliens are terrorists, as sure as I'm sitting here. And if, God forbid, there is another attack, where do you think these attackers will have come from? In which communities do you think they will have resided? And how will they have gotten into this country? It doesn't take a genius to figure that one out. Let me go back to another piece from this OBL missive, Hollywood, blah, blah, blah. People want the war stop. And then he says, why are the leaders of the wise keen to start wars and wage them around the world? Ho-hum, I've heard it all. Then Kennedy was killed because he ended the war and the corporations wanted the Vietnam War to go on, you know, and on and on. And then he says, it became clear to you that it was unjust and unjust that you made one of your greatest mistakes and that you neither brought to account nor punished those who waged this war. He's talking about Vietnam now. Not even the most violent of its murderers, Rumsfeld. Now, this is Osama bin Laden. And even more incredible than that is that Bush picked him as Secretary of Defense in his first term after picking Cheney as vice president. Powell as the Secretary of State and Armitage as Powell's deputy, despite their horrific and bloody history of murdering humans. You hear? So that was a clear signal that this administration, the administration of the generals, didn't have as its main concern the serving of humanity, but rather was interested in bringing about new massacres. It's all rubbish. Yet in spite of that, you permitted Bush to complete his first term, and stranger still, chosen for a second term, which gave him a clear mandate from you, with your full knowledge and consent, to continue to murder our people in Iraq and Afghanistan. Well, we can talk about this till we're blue in the face. These are the rambling. They're almost insane words, by the way. They're the words of a stoned high school student in Marin County, California, who goes to a special school for idiots who can't study. As Mark Twain said, never mind Mark Twain. It's not directly related. And then he goes on to say, now here's where I think he's signaling an attack. He says, then you claim to be innocent. Now, I want to pause right here. This is one long justification for an attack upon America. In my estimation, we are in danger. I think we're in greater danger than we were before this release. Because he's saying, this guy, the enemy, Hitler of our time, saying, then you claim to be innocent. The innocence of yours is like my innocence of the blood of your sons on the 11th, were I to claim such a thing. You hear this? But he does claim the innocence of his sons. He's acknowledged that he did 9/11, which should put conspiracy theorists to rest, but they won't do it. He says, but it is impossible for me to honor any of you in the arrogance and indifference you show for the lives of humans outside America. So he's saying that you are now guilty of crimes around the world, and so therefore if you die in a nuclear explosion or in any other way, you deserve it. This is a very dangerous threat. And before I take a pause, I've got to warn you about something here. The Democrat left, the entire illegitimate left-wing establishment, has been broadcasting all day on the networks, on the cables, and in their websites like MSNBC, that nowhere does he threaten the American people. I've heard this over and over again from the empty skirts on MSNBC and even on Fox. They're all saying the same thing. They're all saying that nowhere does Osama bin Laden threaten America. They're lying to you because I just found it for you. He is justifying an attack, and he's telling you that if you die from the attack, there's a justification for killing you. This is a gigantic justification for an attack, in my opinion. I'll be right back. Savage. So I'm reading the transcript, and the liberal media is lying to you when they say no specific threat made. They're lying. This is MSNBC lying to you again. Either they didn't read it, and they're all repeating each other's lie, the empty skirts with the bleached blonde hair all saying no specific threat, no specific threat. There was no threat. There was no threat. There is a threat. I'm reading this to you. Quote, then you claim to be innocent. This innocence of yours is like my innocence of the blood of your sons in the 11th. Were I to claim such a thing. But it is impossible for me to honor, to humor any of you in the arrogance and indifference you show for the lives of humans outside America, or for me to humor your leaders in their lying. Now, first of all, we provide humanitarian assistance around the world to an extent unheard of or unseen in the history of the world. The Muslim world provides less than used sand to the starving masses of the world. They give nothing. We are the most humane nation on planet Earth, despite what Hillary Clinton may say, despite what Dennis Kucinich may imply. We are the most welcoming nation on Earth, to our own demise, by the way. We are the most humane nation on Earth, and we have been for a very long time. This is pure, unadulterated, propagandist rubbish, and this man is setting it up as a justification to harm you and your children. Make no mistake about it. This is war talk. It is justifying an attack. All of it is the justification for an attack. And let's pray to God that it doesn't come. But I find it odd that Mexican trucks are hitting the U.S. pavement today and that President Bush is hell-bent to green-light foreign truckers. I find it odd that on the very same day that this comes out, the trucks are rolling. I mean, there's so many things that are adding up that don't add up. And who wrote this? The syntax in this is American pothead circa 2007. This is not the syntax of a native-born Bedouin son, I can tell you right now. I am no expert in linguistics, but I'm an expert in language. And I'm telling you the syntax of this missive from Osama bin Laden is American pothead circa 2007. And it is likely it was written by this turncoat Gadane or someone along those lines, I believe. By the way, Susan, quickly, Line 7, go ahead, make your point.
Michael, you are absolutely right. When you said that in your interview, my little light bulb went off, and I said, oh, my gosh, it's that Kukula from Orange County. It's too Americanized. It's not a
correct. There's too much American high school level sophomoric rubbish and hear about global warming, mortgage. This is not; these are not the words of an Arab. Moreover, an Arab of this man's background. This is Americana 2007 Savage. Pothead. This is very serious stuff. It's not serious if nothing happens and we go along in our la-la attitudes that it's all BS created by the neocons and the corporations to justify the war. I understand that attitude, and it's a devil-may-care attitude of who cares until I have to care. That's a way to get through life. There's another way to look at it, which is to be proactive and plan for the possibility that something terrible could be coming, whether it's on 9/11 or at another time in the future, because as experts have told you, it only takes once our guys to be wrong once or miss them once and something horrible happens. So it's reasonable to assume that there could be something horrendous coming. And, you know, do you make plans? What are your plans? And it leads me to ask you, are you worried about this Osama bin Laden tape and the rhetoric in the tape? Do you think it's worthy of your consideration, or do you think it's all rubbish? You think it's the CIA who produced it, or George Bush, or Richard Nixon? Did Nixon come back from the grave? Is it really Richard Nixon in a fake beard in order to justify the corporate power structure? That's something you'd hear in a Marin County special school for the children of the locals here, that kind of rhetoric tied into global warming. I could almost write the speech that these dummies with pimples would give. You've never seen anything like it. I mean, these kids, most of them were bred to walk across minefields. But because they live on their parents' money, basically they're walking minefields. So let's look at another guest right now. And the guest is Jeremiah in the Bible. And I want to read you something. You know how sometimes I say to you what's going on in this country is biblical and it's degeneracy? Jeremiah was really pissed off at the ancient Israelites. And in one little passage, it's one little one, he says to them, these are in God's words, he says, for of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, meaning I freed you from slavery. He then says, and you said, I will not transgress. Then he says, upon every high hill and under every leafy tree, you did recline playing the harlot. That's the end of Jeremiah 20. Now you turn on the television, you open up a newspaper, and everywhere all you see are harlots held up as role models. When have you last seen a pregnant woman held up as a role model? They've made pregnant women into something ugly because the homosexuals have taken over the image-making machine of this country to such an extent that an actual natural woman, particularly a pregnant woman, is a thing to be shunned. While a stick figure woman who looks like a post-op transvestite who is also possibly a junkie is now held up as the national role model. She's become the Martha Washington of our time. So Jeremiah would have quite a wild time living in America today. And I'll read you one more piece. He says, and yet I had planted you a noble vine, holy a right seed. How did you turn into a degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? He says, though you wash yourself with nitrite and take thee much soap, yet your iniquity is marked before me, said the Lord. He says, how could you say I'm not defiled? Reference to Baalim when people used the word boiling. See thy way in the valley? Know what you've done? You are a swift young camel traversing her ways, a wild ass used to the wilderness that snuffeth up the wind in her desire. Her lust, who can hinder it? All they that seek her will not weary themselves. In a month they shall find her. Withhold thy foot from being unshod and thy throat from thirst. But you said there is no hope. No, 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 for I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. And he goes on, he was really angry, Jeremiah, at his nation. And he warned what would happen to his nation of ancient Israel. And it did happen. It did happen. And in some cases, there are people warning America today of the fact that we have become a nation of the type we have become. And that terrible things have happened and even more terrible things will happen. Now, you know, I don't know where to go from here. I've read the tape. in part. I've told you that I think the syntax is American pothead circa 2007. I've also told you I don't believe the Osama bin Laden, the enemy, wrote it. I believe it was written by an American because of the syntax. It was probably written by this creep, Gadain, who should be hung when he's found. He should be given one trial, if any at all, and he should be hung publicly for the world to see. What does global warming have to do with Osama bin Laden? What does the mortgage crisis have to do with Osama bin Laden? What does a flat 2.5% tax have to do with him? And what does converting to Islam have to do with him? The answer is everything. So he goes on to the Democrats and attacks them because they didn't stop the war because of the money. Of course, we have to agree with him on that. I've said the same thing, by the way, which is that they came to power as an anti-war party. And the reason they were screaming is they weren't getting any of the pork. But now that Murtha and Feinstein and Pelosi and the others have sucked out enough of the fat and have a nice clear flow of the pork fat into their coffers and the coffers of their contributors, suddenly the war is good. You see, it was never a bad war. It was only that the Republicans were keeping all of the pork for themselves. But now that the Democrats are sharing in the pork rinds and the pork fat of the war spending, and they're bankrupting the Treasury and undermining the currency while doing so, they're quite happy with the war, and this could go on forever, by the way. Bill, Ocala, Florida, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mike, I turned on Limbaugh today, and I figure I would get some analysis on this this OPL tape. All I heard was 3 hours of nonsensical garbage concerning global warming, okay? And I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I hear
nothing. Well, he has become totally irrelevant. Those who have listened to him over the years know that he's an irrelevant man. He's a clown who has made himself totally irrelevant, and it's a shame because he's a very intelligent man who has done so much to bring people awareness, and now he's become nothing but a tool of the White House. You know he was invited there for a speech, for a dinner, along with a wall banger. They all went in there. And so he doesn't want the American people to pay attention to the real stories out there. He's become part of the mainstream media while pretending to be otherwise.
It shines through because we can see it and we can hear it, because I couldn't even last the 3 hours.
I don't know how you could last for 3 minutes. How many times can you listen to a man talk about his golfing game and his cigars? But, you know, he's not the issue. I wish him luck and I wish him great success. The issue is how he could waste people's minds like this. Do you think that the OBL tape is as significant as I'm making it? Is it worth your time and my time for me to be reading this, Bill?
It is very, very important, Michael, because we face an enemy not only outside of this border, but inside. We have the American left, the progressives, the Democratic Party, whatever you want to call them. They're in collusion with the enemy. Okay?
I think so. I wrote a book called The Enemy Within because I thought so. And, of course, I don't think so anymore. I know so. Much of the rhetoric of this Osama bin Laden tape is identical to the rhetoric of the Democrats on the campaign trail right now. You know that, Bill.
Absolutely true, Michael. But we don't know who's writing the talking points. Are the Democrats writing the talking points for bin Laden, or is he writing the talking points for them?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Of course, they're not doing either, but they may as well be. And I thank you for the call. It's not funny. But, you know, what am I supposed to do, buy 12 salamis over the weekend and hang them in my basement? Should I just get mortadella and salamis and cheese and get the a couple hundred gallons of water? I mean, you know, what am I supposed to do about all of this? Is what the average person, get gold coins? Probably, right? I know they advertise Swiss America, but I mean, you know, gold isn't such a bad idea. You know, if you evaluate the possibility of the worst case scenario, you want to go there? You don't really want to go there. I tend not to go there, and I shouldn't. You know, it's funny. I was on my bicycle today, and I saw a sickness in this Bay Area. It really is getting to me. The evil of this area is starting to get to me. I'm thinking of moving away from here forever, because the evil in the San Francisco Bay Area, it really crystallized for me when I saw the hate outside my radio studio 2 or 3 weeks ago. When I saw the hate of the left in this city and how mean they really are behind their Pepsodent smiles, and how these fraudulent people pretend to be progressives, but they're absolutely the same as the communists were during the Soviet or the communist revolution. And if they had the power, they would throw men like me into an internment camp and worse. I know who they are. They're the most evil people I've ever met in my life. Then I see the sick children. I see the teenagers walking around with the slack jaws and the pants underneath their behinds. I'm talking about the white kids in particular, how dumb and stupid they really are in this area. And I got negative and more negative. And then I rode past the church, and I was like gasping for air from seeing the negativity here. So before that, I stopped and looked at ducks to grab my breath, because yesterday I had told you, when a man asked, how do you live in a liberal area? How do you teach your children when you have so many perverts teaching them such sickness? I said, well, take your kids out to the zoo, or take them to look at ducks in a pond. There's a boy duck, there's a girl duck, there's the baby ducks. You have to start with nature with children, because they're being brainwashed in the schools by the perverts. So I looked at the ducks, and I wasn't in the mood to look at the ducks, and I got on the bike, and I went past the church, and my eye caught a bumper sticker that said, what are you grateful for? And it just stopped me for a minute. And I said, well, you know, that's a great question. I'm grateful for a lot of things. And I thought, what are you grateful for? I said, what would you say to your audience if they asked you, what are you grateful for? Well, you know what came to my mind? First of all, I'm grateful to my mother and father for having given birth to me. Then I'm grateful to God for having created the world. Then I'm grateful to the founding fathers of the United States of America for having created a system that is so great that even in these times when the worst weasels in history have taken over the reins of power from the local to the national level, in so many cases, the system still operates, that we the people can still function despite the fact that some of the worst amongst us are now running things. And by the way, this is a bipartisan statement, I'm sorry to tell you. And so there it is. I mean, what can I tell you? There are many things to be grateful for. And I was going to ask you, what are you grateful for? But don't call me on that. That's a hokey show that I don't really want to do. Just think about it over the weekend. So I'm going to go back. You claim to be innocent, and he warns you. He says, you're not innocent, and I'm not going to humor you. And he says that not taking past war criminals to account, blah, blah, blah. And he's basically saying that you show indifference for the lives of humans outside America. To me, that is a threat. To me, that's justifying an attack. And for me, he's signaling that he's going to, if he can, set something off. To me, the black beard and intuition, the fake black beard, means it's a signal to set something off in this country. And he goes on to say the war is unnecessary, and he quotes this cretin, Noam Chomsky, who he loves. And I would say, just on the basis of it, Noam Chomsky should be deported to Saudi Arabia. On the face of it, he should be sent to Pakistan, possibly dropped out of an airplane at 30,000 feet. I'd give him a parachute because I'm a humanitarian man, along with a Quran and, let's say, a bottle of water. Since he loves Osama bin Laden so much and he hates America so much, and he's able to do this because of the freedoms that the founding fathers gave us, I would say it's time to take Noam Chomsky and the others and take them in a black flight over the reaches of Pakistan where his friends reside, and drop him over there with a parachute now, along with all the others who love Osama so much and love the Muslim fanatic so much and hate us so much. Those, you know, Das Kapital crowd. You get it? And then I will go on. He goes on, Democrats fail to stop the war, and there's two ways to stop it. He says, the first is from our side, and it is to continue to escalate the killing and fighting against you. Now, how in the world can MSNBC claim no threat made? This tape contains no threat. Are they kidding? Is NBC that degenerate that they think we buy this? This is why I came on the air today, to tell you there is a specific threat in here. He says right here is to go on killing and fighting you. He's also, in three paragraphs earlier, the enemy said that you're not innocent, meaning you and your children, your daughters and your sons, are not innocent. That's a justification for killing you. He's saying you're not moral people. You hear what I'm saying to you? We are at war. And all wars have, missives of this type, as I played for you, Tokyo Rose and all. He says the other side is you. It has now become clear to you and the entire world the impotence of the democratic system, I think he means of the Democratic Party, and how it plays with the interests of the peoples and their blood by sacrificing soldiers and populations to achieve the interests of the major corporations. That's, of course, feeding the I don't know who. He comes from a billionaire family, a major corporation in Saudi Arabia. So he's feeding the crap to the MoveOn.org socialist left anarchists who think the world would be better if we were rid of our cars and had buggy whips, you know, and we made candles instead of had electric lights. He says, and with that has been clear to all that they are the real tyrannical terrorists. I don't know who they means. I guess he means the corporations. In fact, the life of all of mankind is in danger because of the global warming, resulting to a lot. This is written by an American on marijuana. How does he leap from that to global warming and the Kyoto Accord and Africa? The whole thing is that of a pothead in San Francisco or a pothead in Marin County who goes to a special school where they don't take attendance. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Asking, is this tape significant? Is it signaling? Is the video meant to trigger attacks somewhere? And who wrote it? Because the rhetoric or the syntax is not that of a Bedouin. And the closest I could come up with is, I think Sean, or do you think Sean could have penned this? Because the rambling nature of it is very similar to that of Sean Penn. Listen to this.
If our belief is that this war should stop today, we cower as you point your fingers, telling us to support our troops. Will you and the smarmy pundits in your pocket, those who bathe in the moisture of your soiled and blood-soaked underwear, can take that noise and shove it?
Okay, so this is a deranged mind, in my opinion, that travels to dictatorships and comes back to the safety of his mansion in Marin County, hates America through and through, and claims to be a patriot, but his rhetoric is almost identical to that of Osama bin Laden. So we have plenty of people who are this nuts in this country. But the real question is, what does the beard signify? We know it's not his. Why did he go from gray and long and ravelly to trimmed and black? What does it mean? And what does the video itself mean? I mean, you want to involve yourself in this. It's interesting. Some are arguing that his long-rumored kidney failure has become so bad that his hair fell out and that this is a fake beard in order to cover up his medical decline. Also, people are arguing that the video is meant to trigger attacks somewhere, but the breakup of the Danish and German cells this week means that the attacks missed their mark. They were broken up before this. See, in other words, let's say the attacks had gone off in Denmark and Germany as planned by the enemy. Then the speech comes out, and it's sort of a justification for them. You understand? Let me take your call. Salim, KPRC in Houston, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, first of all, just an honor to speak to you, Dr. Savage. I'm just wondering why we see the video doesn't look like him, and we know the rhetoric doesn't sound like him. Seems strange to me that someone as intelligent as you is so ready to believe that it actually is him.
You heard me say that I don't think he was written by him. I think it was written by Gadain. If anyone, you know, within his own camp wrote it, it was Gadain, the American turncoat. I said that. You heard me, Salim?
Yes, I did. It just seems strange because clearly the first thing I noticed was the picture. And someone like Osama bin Laden with his radicalized views, there's no way in the world he would let someone trim his beard. And I'm definitely dyeing it a black color. No,
but we've been talking about that for 2 hours straight, Salim. I've said the same thing, that a traditionalist would not let his beard be trimmed. It's against his Quranic traditions. And so, okay, you're not arguing that it's a CIA Photoshop job, are you?
No. I don't know why or who might be doing it, but it just seems strange that everyone's accepting it as legitimate so easily.
No, I understand. Look, the Internet's abuzz with it's the CIA, it's meant to save George Bush and the war machine because people don't care anymore, it's the boogeyman. You know, I've heard all of it, Salim. However, we know that these folks are very intent on hurting us, and that means Muslims like yourself as well. And why should we let our guard down and assume it's all a joke?
No, we don't take it as a joke, but, as you know as well as I do, just because we have a message from somebody, whoever it might be, does not mean that all Muslims...
Right. Well, I personally said that the beard looks fake to me, and I also said that I don't think he wrote it because it's not the syntax of someone who speaks Arabic and is a Bedouin by training.
Savage.
The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Our belief is that this war should stop today. We cower as you point your fingers, telling us to support our troops. Well, you and the smarmy pundits in your pocket, those who bathe in the moisture of your soiled and blood-soaked underwear, can take that noise and shove it.
This is your number one enemy, your favorite playmate, Orphan Anne of Radio Tokyo.
All right, so in every generation, we've had our quislings and our propagandists, the propagandists for the enemy, and we have them now. The problem today is that you add marijuana to the puzzle, and you wind up with speeches like you just heard in the first part. And this missive from Osama bin Laden is sophomoric at best. It's something that a high school teacher, I would say a junior high school teacher in New York when I went to school, would have failed somebody in English for not being able to hold a sentence or a paragraph together. I've never seen anything like this. But we've heard it in Hollywood. I can name three or four movie stars, so-called, who speak along this line. You know, do I have to name them for you? I mean, you know who they are. But listen to this. We're on page 5 now of Osama bin Laden's missive. And he talks about global warming and the Kyoto Accord, and we're all going to die. And because of that, Africa and plagues are the most dangerous threat. And he says, and despite this brazen attack on the people, the leaders of the West, especially Bush, Blair, Sarkozy, and Brown, I didn't even know who Brown was. I thought he was referring to the trucks. What are the trucks, Beowulf, with the Brown truck? UPS. I don't know what he means by Brown. Especially Bush, Blair, Sarkozy. Oh, not UPS. I'm the leader of England. Still talk about freedom and human rights with a flagrant disregard for the intellects of human beings. So is there a form of terrorism stronger, clearer, and more dangerous than this? This is why I tell you, as you liberated yourselves before from the slavery of monks, kings, and feudalism, you should liberate yourselves from the deception, shackles, and attrition of the capitalist system. This is Marxist-Islamist manifesto talk, almost like the Unabomber. But what's astonishing here is that it's written, or let's say allegedly written, by a billionaire named Osama bin Laden, the son of a capitalist contractor in Saudi Arabia. It's unbelievable to me how people could read this stuff and believe a word of it. And yet you know and I know that MoveOn.org, the Michael Moore type, even as high up the food chain as the Hillary camp, there are those who believe him. He goes on. He says, if you were to ponder it well, you would find that in the end it is a system harsher and fiercer than your systems in the Middle Ages. So you're telling me that air conditioning, readily available food and medical care are not significant achievements? I would say that just on the basis of air conditioning, readily available food and medical care, the systems are better today than the Middle Ages. If I have to argue at all with this insanity. This is total insanity, by the way. Then we'll go on and we'll finish this up. It says, the capitalist system seeks to turn the entire world into a fiefdom of the major corporations under the label of globalization in order to protect democracy, blah, 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 blah. So again, this could be the type that you see running San Francisco, even though they're the stooges and puppets of billionaires who live on Pacific Heights. They're all anti-globalist and I don't know what they're anti, but they live off. They're the fronts for the billionaires who live on Pacific Heights, who didn't earn the money themselves anyway. They inherited it, and then they married into it, even though they worked in makeup counters in Macy's prior to the marriage to the inheritor of the oil fortunes, who feed this through the soirees on Sunday night with the gibberish. It's unbelievable. I'm speaking in code now. I'll go back now. And Iraq and Afghanistan and their tragedies. And the really, now listen to this. Then I'm going to stop because it's too hard for me to read this. I've had too much education and I've written too many books to read any more of this without losing my IQ. And Iraq and Afghanistan and their tragedies, and the reeling of many of you under the burden of interest-related debts, insane taxes, and real estate mortgages, global warming and its woes, and the abject poverty and tragic hunger in Africa. All of this is but one side of the grim face of this global system. Well, I would say that let's start with the last, the tragic hunger in Africa. He's a very wealthy boy from a very rich family. He could give his fortune away to feed the poor in Africa instead of killing people. Wouldn't you say that that would be a thing for him to do? Instead of killing, he could spread some of the largesse around? So then he tells you to free yourself and Allah and go to Allah the Most High and then blah, 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 and polytheism. I can't read much more of this. I'm losing my focus. The Garden of Eden, when the men of knowledge altered the words of Allah the Most High and sold him for a paltry price, as the rabbis did with the Torah. Wait a minute. He's got this backwards. He's got it backwards because the Torah was around like a long time before Islam was around. So let me just tell you, you're dealing with a major league moron here, whoever wrote this. It couldn't have been him. So then when the men of knowledge altered the words of Allah, the Most High, and sold them for a paltry price, as the rabbis did with the Torah is the book of the five books of Moses, okay? The five books of Moses is the essence of Christianity and of Islam. Islam fundamentally ripped off the Torah and modified it for the times they were living in and for the people of the time. And yet he's even altering history here. The final book, the magnificent Quran, and safeguarded from being added to or subtracted from the hands of men, and the complete methodology for the lives of all people, blah, blah, blah. Listen, if you'd like to know some of the reasons for you losing your war against us, then read the book of Michael Scheuer in this regard. I had him on the show a while ago. What is this rambling here? Boy, this guy could use a big dose of niacin, I can tell you. Then he says our boys are dying and they're afraid to leave the barracks. And they're slaves of the capitalist system, embrace Islam for the greatest mistake one can make in this world, and one which is incorrect, is to die while not surrendering to Allah, the Most High, and all such. You know what? Kiss my behind already with this Allah crap. I'm sick of it. I am sick of this religious garbage. I believe in religious freedom, but I cannot stand this garbage. I cannot take this. There are no taxes in Islam? That's because there's no income in Islam. But rather, there is a limited alms totaling only 2.5%. So he's a flat taxer to top it off. Next, we'll hear that we should vote for him. It sounds like he's running. Sounds to me like he's running on the progressive ticket here. He's a little to the left of Hillary Clinton, I got to admit. And he's a little to the right of Dennis Kucinich and Edwards, who are out of the race anyway. But he definitely seems to be running for office here. I would guess that if Osama bin Laden was a write-in candidate in the presidential election coming up, he could probably get about 10% of the vote of the left-wing nuts would vote for him. That would be my guess. And incidentally, on michaelsavage.com, I'm shocked to tell you, I haven't checked this for a while, friends called me, 17 million of you have gone onto my website, 17 million have voted that I should quit the radio business and run for the presidency. Could you believe this? It's unbelievable to me. How could 17 million people want me to run for office? I couldn't win, but I certainly could upset the apple cart a little bit, which is why I don't think I'm going to do it. You instead vote for the glue horse. I want you to vote for the glue horse. That's a real serious candidate. Another television fiction, the glue horse. Okay, I'm almost finished here. I owe it to you, and I'm in a sweat. I went through two undershirts already today. Allah, Jesus, and his mother Mary now, he tells. Now he's telling you in the first part, he's Jew friendly. He appeals to Jewish liberals in the beginning by saying the Holocaust of the Jews was carried out and it wouldn't have happened if it had been done around us. They would have found refuge with us. So at least he acknowledges the Holocaust of the Jews, unlike the shrimp in Iran who says it never happened. So, you know, let's say thank God for small favors. Now, in the end, he attacks Jews by saying something about he's a friend of Jesus and Mary. And he says, in contrast to the fabrications of the Jews against Mary. Well, wait a minute. Mary came after the Jewish people, wrote, you know, the whole thing's crazy. Whoever wishes to find that out for himself must listen to the verse of this magnificent chapter one of the just kings of the Christians, the Negus. I can't read this. I can't read this anymore. But he wants you to become acquainted with Islam and to convert to Islam. How many of you are listening to the show ready to convert to Islam as a result of Osama bin Laden's threats and rambling pen-esque speech? How many of you think it's real? How many of you fear an attack? How many of you think that the beard looks dandy and are ready to dye your beard? How many of you are ready to go out and get a funny little hat like his for the next Halloween party? How many of you are going to buy mortadella and bottles of water for the coming attack? This thing is nuts. And thank God I got through it. It's interesting to me that it was released just about the time that Norman Hsu was captured on a train in Colorado, the Democrat, fugitive Democrat money man. And I can't say that it was Hillary Clinton who released the OBL tape, but if you want to argue it, you can make that argument if you want to go crazy with it. Those of you who were saying that it was George Bush releasing this Photoshop picture of him in order to gin up some fear again because the war is not popular and Bush's popularity is faltering, you could equally argue that it was Hillary Clinton releasing it and the Democrats, now that the fundraiser shoe was caught, you could say that the beard trumped the shoe. I mean, you can go in a number of different ways. This guy has something wrong with his head. I know Al Capone died of syphilis in the can, and something's wrong with this picture. I don't know who wrote this for him, but it sounds, again, like a high schooler in Marin County in a special school where there are no bells, only whistles. KNEW, John, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. I have a theory for why Osama bin Laden is going all over the topic.
Tell me.
Yeah, he's trying to appeal to the Muslim people. The Muslim people don't have a leader. And he's trying to act smart and say, well, I'm not just a caveman, but I know exactly what I'm talking about. And he's trying to touch on every topic under the sun and try to carve himself a place as the Antichrist.
In other words, by throwing in global warming and taxation and mortgages, he's trying to say he understands them, or he feels their pain?
No, he's dumb, but he's acting to say, well, I know all this stuff. I want to be your next Muslim leader. The Muslims don't have a leader globally.
Well, he is, in his own mind, the leader of the Muslim people, and he wants to create a new caliphate with him as the chief bugaboo, the guy ahead of it all.
But then he has to act educated, though.
Well, I don't know what he is intending here, but, you know, it could be argued that this was intended to be released today after a successful attack in Germany and Denmark, which has been broken up and failed. You know what I'm saying?
But he wants.
You know, it takes days for these tapes to get moved by mule and whatever. They don't have Chrysler New Yorkers over there that, with air conditioning that they can ride around in. They have to do it by mule train. So, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a breather now. Not a break yet. It's Rock and Roll Friday. I've done a good job so far. I'm proud of myself. So we can play some rock and roll. I got the perfect song for you today. Play The Platters and the great Pretender.
Oh, yes, I'm the great Pretender, pretending that I'm doing well. My need is such, I pretend too much.
All right, it's all funny. Now you can turn it off. It's not even funny. I'm not even in there's nothing about this that's funny. I believe these vermin are here. I believe they're near. I believe they're everywhere. And I believe it's only a matter of time until something happens. Now, Tuesday night, I think I'm going to get a group of friends and go have a meal in a Pakistani restaurant. And we'll break some bread together in a Pakistani restaurant, because I'll be damned if I'm going to be made afraid by this guy or any of these tapes. I think I'm going to go into San Francisco specifically to a Pakistani restaurant on Tuesday night, and I'm going to demand some roti with a group of 10 friends, hopefully ex-military, ex-special forces, or cops. I think we should just go into a Pakistani restaurant and have a nice meal with a lot of beer. I'll be right back.
Savage.
If our belief is that this war should stop today.
All right. This is not Osama bin Laden. This is one of our award-winning actors sounding like him. You know, he could play him, actually. With the bloody underwear. Thank God that he didn't say anything about wide stance and bloody underwear, because then I would have to start, you know, wondering if he's prescient. Here's the good news of the day. There is good news today. I just found it. My webmaster just notified me that it's on michaelsavage.com. Virginia's ex-ACLU chief gets 7 years for child porn. I think, please, let's take a time out and applaud. A former Arlington County youth sports coach and civil rights lawyer who once headed Virginia's American Civil Liberties Union chapter was sentenced today to 7 years in federal prison for buying child pornography that prosecutors labeled sadistic and masochistic. Charles Russ Tierney, 51, pleaded guilty in June to downloading hundreds of pornographic images of children as young as four. Authorities said Russ Tierney of the ACLU used a computer in his 11-year-old son's bedroom to view the files, which included a six-minute video that depicted sexual torture of children set to a song by the rock band Nine Inch Nails. Isn't that nice? Now, what have I told you about the ACLU? I've told you who they are. I've warned you who they are. And I don't know why the federal government just doesn't take out Pockmark and his entire legion of anti-American perverts. I don't understand it. I guess they're trying to the best they can. During one two-week span, the ACLU chief accessed more than 850 digital image and video files of child pornography on one site. Many show children under the age of 12 being forced to engage in sexual acts with adult males. You hear this? This is your ACLU at work. A federal magistrate who declined to release him in March described the image she viewed as, quote, the most perverted and nauseating and sickening type of child pornography she had seen in 10 years on the bench. The judge also refused to release Russ Tierney, the ACLU chief, saying he posed a serious risk of harm to the community. The judge added that the term child pornography does not convey the depravity of the images that were downloaded. He will be monitored for 10 years after his release from a minimum security prison. Oh, minimum security prison. I see. Minimum security prison. Russ Tierney was president of the ACLU's Virginia affiliate from 93 to 2005. He had coached youth baseball, soccer, and football. He said that he viewed child porn as a way to escape despair in his personal life. I only hope that he is released in the exercise yard of a prison in Virginia, which contains some of the most violent felons known to mankind, and the guards take a three-minute cigarette break away from the prison.
Savage.
Hey, la dee ding dong, a lang a lang a lang, boom ba lo, ba do ba do ba bay.
Oh, life could be a dream if I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm
paradise up above. This could be a recruiting song when you look back on it.
Sweetheart.
Sounds like an OBL song. Life could be a dream in paradise up above.
A dream.
See?
If only all my precious plans.
All you gotta do is grow a beard and get on your knees, that's all.
Let me spend my whole life loving you.
All right, knock it off already. I don't want to hear it anymore. Global warming, mortgages, taxes, flat taxer. This is unbelievable to me. Who wrote this? Well, look, we had good news. The Virginia's ex-ACLU chief is given 7 years in the slammer for downloading the most vile pornography in his 6-year-old son's bedroom. I personally think he should have been given more than 6 years. I think he should have been made to take the wide stance in Pelican Bay for a little while. I mean, that would have been just, you know. But this is what the ACLU is. It's filled with deviants who disguise themselves as wanting to grant us more freedoms from an oppressive government, when in fact it's to cover up their particular orientations. You understand that, though, by now? Do you get it? When are you liberals going to ever understand that? That you're being duped by some very evil men and women. All right, it's enough that I understand it. All right, so he is reaching out for the minorities here with the Africa thing. That ties into Hollywood, by the way. Global warming, Alec Baldwin is in there. Barbara Streisand could believe in this speech. I'm surprised she doesn't convert to Islam. I actually expect any day to be a gigantic mosque to go up in Brentwood or Beverly Hills with the movie stars attending, those who have left the synagogues and churches a long time ago, to suddenly discover that they really are Muslim at heart. Because, you know, they believe in mortgages are too high, taxes are too high, global warming is caused by people who drive cars like theirs and fly the Gulf Streams that they have. Incidentally, minarets are not in the Quran. It is a mark of the spread of the caliphate, which is why the Swiss want to ban minarets, incidentally. I don't think you understand any of this. So the next time you see minarets going up, you should vote to prevent them from going up, because it's a mark of conquest. But that's hard for you to understand, you libs. You're so brainwashed, you don't understand it. you'll say, how does it differ from a church bell? Which is, of course, how they take you over. Mark in New Hampshire, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike, I think that this sounds like a recruitment drive. As you're reading the transcript, this is the same kind of crap that the libs are putting out. He's mentioning Africa and the global warming and, you know.
Well, that's what I said. I said this could be a DNC fundraising letter. It's a little to the left of Hillary Clinton, a little to the right of Edwards, because Edwards is far to the left of Osama bin Laden and certainly to the right of Kucinich. They've all said things similar about the war, the United States, and capitalism, haven't they?
Exactly.
Do you think OBL is running for office as a write-in candidate for a third party? His platform is end global warming, end the mortgage crisis. Let's go to a flat tax of 2.5%. And convert to Islam, and you'll have peace. It sounds almost like a third-party candidacy. It's very much like the glue horse coming in this late. 1-800-449-8255. Visit me online at michaelsavage.com, and you'll see all the stories of the day. That's all. I feel good already now. I'm feeling better. It was a tough day for me after seeing this morning. I was just wiped from it. But the longer I thought about it laying in bed, I didn't want to go to work today. Becoming like a kid who just doesn't want to go to school anymore. Because it feels so futile to me to even get on the air when you think about how many years I worked against the illiberal left, only to see the charlatan who took over the Republican Party. And the Mexican trucks are rolling, rolling, rolling. How could we have a war on drugs with uninspected trucks coming from Mexico? I don't understand it. Where's the DEA on this? How could we have an immigration policy that they say with one hand, we're going to crack down on the border, and they bring in trucks that are uninspected with highways right up to Toronto, rolling, 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 rolling. See, with one hand and with the other, I giveth, I taketh away. I cry to God, and he listens. I think God's crying, frankly, from listening to him. San Diego Diocese to pay $198 million to settle abuse claims. What I don't understand is, like, a lot of guys who got abused actually do that by preference now, and they don't charge anybody for it. I don't get it. Why does the church have to pay when these guys engage in the same behavior now for free? I that's the part I can't understand. The priest was doing to them what a lot of them do now, and they like. So why should the Catholic Church pay? I don't get that part of it. Ocala, Florida. Mark, in Florida, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, you're my hero, buddy. I'm sitting here in my big, shiny red Corvette with 300 horsepower. I just filled it up with premium gas, and I'm getting ready to ride around town and looking bad and burning fuel, baby.
Right. High carbon. High carbon, Mark. One of my kind. Yes, and what's on your mind?
I probably won't burn any more fuel in Gore Flug than Gore used to taxi down the runway. But listen, what Norman Shue sitting in a hospital over there, and they don't understand really what's wrong with him. I'm wondering if the Clinton gang isn't going to kill him like back when Bill Clinton was in. How many people died around them people at that point in time?
Well, I think Norman Shue, if Norman Shue winds up with polonium poisoning, we'll have to inspect the sushi restaurant he may have eaten before jumping bail.
Well, I think the Clintons might be trying to kill him, I mean, or somebody that has to do it.
Well, let me ask you something. Do you think it's in the interest of the Democrat Party to have Norman Shue deposed? No. Do you think it's in the interest of the Democrat Party for a hearing to be held with Norman Shue as a witness? No. Wouldn't it be convenient if Norman Shue disappeared? Yes, which is why his lawyer couldn't find his passport, which is why the attorney general in California reduced his bail from $2 million to $1 million, and which is, you know, thank God the FBI has restored my confidence in them. When they went and found him, I think they're amazing that they got him on a train in Colorado last night. Doesn't that give you some comfort?
Yeah, it does. I mean, but listen, the other point I want to make, because I know there's a million people wanting to talk to you, and that is that bin Laden sits over there. How is he getting all this information, you know, current information? I mean, he must be somewhere where there's television or something. I mean, he's got to be somewhere like that. But if he wants to condemn all the capitalistic corporations, he's using capitalistic products to get his message out across the world.
Of course. He's appealing to the left-wing nut jobs who are anti-globalism, anti-capitalist, as they drive to fundraising, you know, groups all over America. I mean, it's crazy. The whole thing's rubbish. It's the mark of potheads. I don't have an answer to you, my friend. Enjoy your Corvette. That's all. Is the tape real or not? Terry, KNEW San Francisco, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Oh, Michael, it's a great to talk with you. You know, I think Osama bin Laden's running for president of the world domination of Islam.
All right, so you think he's running to take over the UN? With, you know, by the way, his platform is closer, now that you mention it, to the UN than it is even to the Democrat Party. He could be trying to become the chief of the UN, the chief of the United Nations. That he'd be perfect for them.
I read an interesting book this summer called The Truth About Mohammed, and everything Osama is doing is right out of Mohammed's playbook, and including the dying.
Well, wait a minute now. He doesn't have a three-year-old wife. Let's cut it off right there. So don't say it's identical.
We don't know that, do we?
Well, does he has 16 wives, apparently, doesn't he, in the cave?
Yes, who knows how old they are. I sure don't, but I know one.
Well, that's right, but we don't think that they're as young as three. He's not a member of the ACLU, after all, so give the man credit where credit is due. He has a pretty good laundress down there, though. Look how nice and white the hat is. And the smock is clean. Who's doing his laundry out there in Pakistan if there's no electricity?
Well,
what's the chance of him living? Do you think he could be living in Berkeley? Or in Brooklyn? What if he's in Brooklyn? I got to talk about this. You know, he might be living in the heart of the enemy itself because it would be the best place for him to hide. Do you remember the story of the head of one of the Sicilian Mafia clans? In fact, he was the head of the Sicilian Mafia. I don't remember his name. He was on the lam for 8 straight years, and the authorities in Sicily couldn't find him. Do you know where they found him? He was living, I believe, right in his hometown all those 8 years. Right amongst his own people, and he went unnoticed in those 8 years. So, you know, it's interesting to me. Maybe this guy is in Brooklyn. It just, God knows he could be there, couldn't he? He could be teaching at the Khalil Gibran School. He could be a phys ed teacher. He's tall enough to teach basketball. Maybe he's teaching basketball at the Khalil Gibran Arabic School in Manhattan. You never know. Maybe he's running like a radio shop on Prospect Avenue in Brooklyn, you know. Osama's electronics. We don't know where he is. He could be in San Francisco on Grant Avenue running a photo shop, for all I know. I'm definitely not going to leave the city for 9/11. Que sera, sera. I got the mortadella, the water, the ghee. I have to learn how to gut deer, that's all. I'll have to get over my, you know, city boy upbringing. I read was a Boy Scout how to gut a deer. If I have to, I'll go hunt a deer, kill it. Hang it upside down, bleed it, cut out the entrails, and make some beef jerky out of it. It'll be the dogs will have meat on the table. So people do all the time, the deer hunters. So what's the big deal of pork? I like the deer. They're not bad. I'm nothing against them. But if I'm starving, I'm going to eat a deer. I can tell you right now, I'm not going to eat a cockroach. And water, as far as water goes, I'll find plenty of water here. I live amongst the water. So what am I supposed to worry about? Sit and worry about a nuclear dirty bomb going off? Hey, we pay trillions of dollars a year. Let the boys and girls who are paid to do it find it. They could find it. They're kicking enough doors tonight, you know. They break down enough doors tonight and stop bunking around with these freaks. If there is such a thing setting off Geiger counters around San Francisco, they could find it if they really had to. All they got to do is say, federal agents open up and knock the doors down and let them drop dead with their lawyers. You know what I mean? Drop dead with your lawyer already. Get the damn bomb out. Pull them out by their filthy beard for all I care. I'm sick of this crap sitting and waiting to be killed. What's with the hands off when we're at war? Would they have done that, the FBI, in 1939, 40, 41, with Gestapo agents living in Germantown up in Yorktown? What, are you going to go to a judge and ask him for permission to pull out Hans the Watchmaker and turn his desk over? What kind of world is this? We got to sit and wait for some freaky liberal ACLU judge to give him permission to break a door in. Go break the door in. See if I care. I got nothing to hide. They do. It's as simple as that. So, you know, don't get me started with this. I've been constrained pretty good now for 2 hours and 45 minutes. I've controlled myself. But let me tell you, I'm boiling over with rage that our government is so impotent, stepping around these people like there's something sacred. I spit on them already with this garbage every day, conversion messages. The same vermin in the media who spit on Christians and spit on the church and mock Jews and mock the Bible and mock God. Oh, how sensitive they are to Islam and Muslims. Every day, another conversion message from these degenerate scum. I'm crazy about it already. I had enough of it. Good, I got it out of my system. Now I can rest this weekend. San Diego, Brian, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Thanks for letting me on the show. I don't know if you've heard of the San Diego Reader before, but have you?
Please make your point.
Okay, well, the San Diego Reader, I was reading an article the other day, and it was saying that within about 150 years, the white race could become completely extinct, the Caucasian race. It documented, basically this article documented how the birth rate among white people in Europe, America.
Right, right. Well, that's logical if things stay the way they are. Sure, if girls just want to have fun, wear pointy shoes and have orgasms and not get married and have children, that could happen. So what's your main point?
Well, my point is that I'm distraught by it. I mean, I'm not personally a racist in any way, but I believe that everyone has the right to try and preserve their culture and ethnicity.
Of course they do. Go tell that to your local ACLU chapter.
Call me a racist because I'm white. Automatically, just because I'm white, because I'm a...
Well, why do you take it? Why don't you just spit in their face? Tell them they've insulted you, they're fighting words, and punch them in the nose.
Oh, yeah,
okay,
well,
bloody their nose when they call you a racist for being white. You'll find out how often they say it to you after that. Thanks for the call. Well, don't rush the judgment so fast that the white race is about to disappear. And it's not about race anyway, maybe about religion. And ultimately, look, did you hear the news I gave you about 2 or 3 weeks ago? It's important to repeat. And it's very comforting in a certain way. And the news is out of China, where there are now, I think the number was 100 million Christians and only 75 million communist Chinese, meaning hardcore communists. And that if the demographics hold in China, the conversion to Christianity holds, China will be the most populous Christian nation on earth in about 20 years. And the estimation is based upon current trends of conversion. The Chinese are desperate for spirituality, and they're converting to Christianity, not to Islam. And the projection is that in the year 20 or 2025, it could be China that takes down Mecca. I'll be right back.
Critics who prophesize with your pen and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win, for the times they are a-changing.
Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers. Children that deal corruptly, they have forsaken the Lord, they have contemned in them the Holy One of Israel, they are turned away backward. On what part would you be stricken, seeing that you stray away more and more? The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. Your land strangers devoured in your presence. How is this faithful city become a harlot? She that was full of justice, righteousness lodged in her, but now murderers. Thy silver has become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth bribes and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. And so that is Isaiah. So what is going on now in your city or my city with the corruption, rampant and out of control, went on before in biblical times, and God was not too happy then, and God is not too happy now, and he's giving us one warning after another, after another, after another. And that is why, you know, nature abhors a vacuum. And Osama bin Laden is not really the cancer. He is the symptom of the cancer. He never would have appeared and become so powerful had this vacuum of evil not evolved in the United States of America and in the West. The hollowing out of our morality, the hollowing out of our fiber, the hollowing out of our character, in essence, is, in essence, the invitation to the virus of radical Islam. And there is a cure. There is no question in my mind that we can still save ourselves by doing, in our own lives, by doing good. Forget about the nation. Forget about the nation for a minute. It's almost impossible to conceive that we could take Dianne Feinstein off the trough. It's almost impossible to believe that we can take Jack Murtha off the trough. You're never going to pull a pig out of the trough. But we ourselves can start by doing a kindness once a day. A holy man wrote that we can change the entire world if every one of us did one kind thing. See, we live in such a mean world and in such a mean time. and such a deceitful time that if we all did one kind thing a day, I know it sounds preachy. Well, good, it's preachy. So let me give you the preachiness for the day. Just think about your day and how mean people are, whether they give you the finger on the road or the supermarket clerk who talks to a fellow worker while you're checking out and makes you feel bad and humiliates you because she hates her job, so she turns it on you. And there's, you know, wherever you turn, there's something, a surly person who works for you, a craftsman who produces unsound works and still bills you, whatever it may be. Well, it can get worse or it can get better. And the way to make it better is to do one kind thing, to say one nice thing to somebody. We could start to change the whole world. That doesn't mean we have to become putzes. It doesn't mean that we have to become patsies. It doesn't mean we have to become weak. In fact, it'll make us stronger. And only by becoming a more just nation can we become a stronger nation. And the way we become a stronger nation is by having faith in ourselves and believing in our self-righteousness. Yes, believing in our righteousness of ourselves. You know, the liberal says, oh, he's self-righteous. Darn right. If you're good, you should be self-righteous. You should believe in your righteous self. And only by believing in yourself again and believing that there's a reason for you to live and that there's a reason for you to go on and a reason for your children to go on, can you believe that there's a reason for your nation to go on. And so it starts with you. You're the building block of the nation. So you got to rebuild yourself, then you can rebuild the nation. Forget about the nation. You can't do it. You can't get these pigs out of the pork. There's no way to get the pigs out of the porker because they're all one and the same. There's never going to be an investigation of Murtha or Feinstein because the other side is doing the same thing. Take a look at Feinstein's $4 billion Beverly Hills earmark on michaelsavage.com. Move over, bridge to nowhere. Congress is back in town, and the biggest pig is Dianne Feinstein. Yeah, the times, they are a-changing. Red diaper dopa babies in the ACLU are making sure that we can't touch any of the pigs in the porker. But with God's will and your listenership, we shall.
Savage.